I was reading in Deuteronomy earlier this week, and it came across the passage that I know we're familiar with, but there's just something that stood out in there that spoke to me, and I wanted to read for you this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm kind of jumping in halfway through the story. The people of God are there. They were challenged to enter into the promised land. And this is what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning at verse 41. Then you replied, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us. So every one of you put on his weapons, thinking it easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to me, 'Tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemies.' So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance, you marched up into the hill country. The Amorites who lived in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down before Seir all the way to Hormah. You came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you. And so you stayed in Kadesh many days, all the time you spent there." Let's just pray before we go further. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that as we look into your word, that you would open our minds, our hearts, to hear what you have to say to us, Lord God. May your words come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Israelites, just to give you a bit of the backstory, were told to go in and take possession of the land for which they had left Egypt for. And as you may know, they didn't go in and take possession of the land. They hesitated, they were afraid, and as a result, they were going to face consequences according to God's word. God said he was going to send them back into the desert because they didn't obey and go up into Canaan. And so the people didn't like that idea. They didn't want to go back to the desert. So they decided that they would go up into the land after all. Verse 42 says, "Do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you," the Lord says. "You will be defeated." In other words, sorry, buddy, it's too late. You needed to go the first time. Verse 43 says that they continued anyway. It says, "You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance, you marched into the hill country." Well, they were soundly defeated. Verse 44, "The Amorites, they chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down. You came back and wept before the Lord." What an interesting story is happening here. The people of God, the same people who had been absolutely and miraculously freed out of Egypt where they were slaves, they had seen God work miracle after miracle. They had followed Moses, sometimes reluctantly. And now when it was time to go into the promised land, they hesitated. They said, "No, we don't want to go." And not only did they say no, but they actually thought it was better that they go back to Egypt. Completely contrary to what God had intended for them. They just went totally backwards. We're going to flip now back to Numbers chapter 14. Because the story has a little bit more of a fuller picture in the book of Numbers. And we're going to look at different passages in Numbers chapter 14. So if you have your Bible, you might want to hold it open over there. I'm going to start by reading the first few verses in Numbers chapter 14. Listen to what it says. "That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." What a turnaround that is. Well, Moses, according to the next few verses in that chapter, tries to convince the people that they should reconsider and they should go forward. Verses 8 and 9, "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord." Moses is encouraging them the first time to go. Let's go while we can. While the Lord has given us the direction to go forward, let's do it. Let's go. Don't be afraid. God will be with us. Don't rebel against the Lord. And the people's response, they wanted to stone Moses. That's how they wanted to respond. They wanted to be done with him. The only problem is, God was very close to Moses. And it's not a good idea to try to stone the person who God is really close to. Earlier in the book of Numbers, when there had been other opposition to Moses, God made it very clear that Moses was the man that they needed to listen to. He was the man who God could speak to face, which was an exceedingly rare privilege. So now when the people talk about stoning Moses, God doesn't take that too kindly. God responds, Numbers chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Moses, taking a page out of Abraham's book, decides to plead with God. He pleads earnestly with God and wanting God to spare the people, and God decides to forgive the people who grumbled against him. However, and this is the important part, there were still going to be consequences. And the point I want to bring forward to us this morning is that forgiveness does not mean there are no consequences and that all opportunities are restored, because they weren't. And that's what stood out to me when I read from Deuteronomy chapter 1. God decrees that all those who had been reluctant to follow Moses into the promised land, that, okay, Moses, I won't destroy them after all. However, they're not going to be allowed to enter into the promised land. Instead, they're going to have to live out their days in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30, God says, "Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this desert." Well, that's where God got the people's attention. That's when they realized they didn't want to live and die in the desert. And that's when they looked at their options and they decided, okay, early the next morning, they came to Moses and they announced that, okay, we're going to do what God told us in the first place. Let's go. Let's make that move into Canaan as God had told us. And we're going to go. We're going to go. Unfortunately, by this time, it was, as they say, too little, too late. It was God's turn to say no. Did you know that God sometimes says no? He certainly does. Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 40. "Early the next morning, they went up toward the hill country, "We have sinned," they said. "We will go up to the place the Lord promised." But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword." Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. As much as we don't like to think about it, sometimes, not always, but sometimes at least, it is too little, too late. Sometimes there comes a time when even God says, enough is enough. And as I said, we don't like to think about that. We don't even want to consider that as a possibility. In our mind, we picture God as this benevolent being who is forever patient, forever gracious, and always ready to respond to us. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how often we say no to God. It doesn't matter how much we hesitate or how long it takes us. But it seems unreal that God would say no to us. And it almost gets to the point where we expect God to be our servant. After all, we know that God is there all the time, and he isn't about to leave us. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God encouraged David to call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And so we take that. We take that as a blank check. In our mind, it almost becomes God's obligation to deliver us. And when we start thinking that way, we're on pretty dangerous ground. It is true that oftentimes God does deliver us, far from when we deserve it. He is gracious, and I thank him for that. But when we come to expect him to do our bidding, regardless of our own obedience to him or not, then it's almost as if we've changed roles. We've become the master, and God's become the servant. We might not say that out loud. In fact, I know we don't, but that's how we want to portray God. And it's hard because there is some truth in it too. It is true. I will defend it with my dying breath that God is very much interested in us and available to help us in our time of need. It is true that God loves us and pours out his blessing upon our lives time and time again. It is true that God is patient in so many ways, far more than what we deserve. It is true that God forgives us again and again when we come to him in repentance. In so many ways, God is there for us, caring for us, protecting us, watching over us, even serving us. In Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is portrayed as the suffering servant. In John chapter 13, we know the familiar passage where Jesus bends down and washes the disciples' feet. Even Jesus said himself that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. But when we focus on all those passages, and I don't disagree with any of that because they're all true, but there's another truth we need to grasp as well, and that is we must never forget that God is still God. And we are here to serve him, not the other way around. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, Jesus says, "So you, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty.'" In other words, we can't make a claim on God. God will be gracious, God will be kind, God will be forgiving, God will provide, God a thousand things. But we can't make a claim on him because what we have done. And I can't help but wonder if the people back in Moses' day didn't get that just a little mixed up. Because they had seen God work for them again and again, I can't help but wonder if they began to believe that they were the ones who get to set the agenda instead of God setting the agenda. And what the people learned the hard way is that there does come a time when God says no. Again, it's hard for us to think of that. And it's even hard for me to say it. But there are some, at least some occasions when God says, "Sorry, you're too late. That opportunity is lost." It's never too late to seek for forgiveness, but sometimes, because of our hesitation or lack of faith, opportunities from the Lord are lost forever. As much as the Israelites were sorry and they wept, because they didn't respond with obedience in the first place, they were still left to face the consequences of their initial rebellion. And in fact, their lives would forever be different. It doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive them and God doesn't love them and that God isn't going to do other things for them. But forever, they lost out on certain blessings. They couldn't simply go back and continue from where they left off as if nothing had happened. And as you know the story, they spent the rest of their years in the desert, as the Lord had said. They never did get into the promised land. Their children did, but they didn't. Obedience to God is not something that we can put off indefinitely, as though God is going to wait around forever until we decide we're ready to follow him. Sometimes our disobedience or our lack of faith will lead to missed blessings for the rest of our lives. If we keep saying no to God, if we make excuses about why this or why that or maybe later, if we ignore sin in our own lives or put off obedience, thinking that we could make things right down the road. I got time to do things right later on. Then we must not be surprised if at some point God says to us, "Okay, have it your way, but you're going to miss out on blessings." Again, let me be clear. Yes, he still loves us. Yes, he will still forgive us. But I can't help but wonder what blessings we forfeit because we hesitate to walk in obedience. What blessings we forfeit because we think we can do it our way just a little bit longer. What blessings we forfeit when we say, maybe later, not quite yet. Delaying obedience is simply not worth it. It never was, and it never will be. Joshua once challenged the people of his day. He said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And I wanted to simply encourage you this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I don't want you to miss out on God's blessing and God's best for you because you resist following through with His commands for you. And so I want to encourage you today to choose this day to follow Him, to respond to Him, to not delay. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when God speaks to us. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, I will agree with that." Today is the day if God is saying, "I need to do something. I need to change a way. I need to whatever." Today is the day. Let's not put it off waiting for another day, waiting for better circumstances, waiting until I'm in a better position, waiting for whatever else. Because sometimes our delay has some serious repercussions. God wants the best for us. I am convinced of that. And there's only one way to achieve that, and that is through obedience to Him. So I want to encourage you with that. Choose for yourselves this day to say yes to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to You this day, and Lord, I recognize how easy it is and how difficult it is in other ways to get trapped by all the things of this world that get in our way and get in our minds, and we think that we need to deal with those first and put off obedience, put off responding to You. And I pray, Father God, that today, here and now, each one of us, those who are here, those who are with us online, would be a people who would say, "Yes, today I will respond to the Lord. Today I will say yes to whatever it is that God is calling me to and challenging me with." I pray, Father God, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us now. Lord, draw us near to You. We need You. We need to know, Lord God, that we are walking with You. Father God, I pray that You would speak to us, lead us. And Lord, where we have hesitated in the past, I pray, Father God, that You would help us today to say yes. Yes, Lord, I will follow. Yes, Lord, I will obey. Yes, Lord, I will turn from that and give that to You as well. And Lord, I thank You for Your people who are walking in faith with You, Lord God. I pray that You would pour out Your blessing upon them. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.